Can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I am Mohammed. I am from Gambia, and I came to Germany in 2011. But before Germany, I was in Italy, where I asked for a political asylum, and my asylum has been accepted. So I live there, and I study photography. But it was very difficult for you to find a job there, because if I could remember, from 2008, 2009, 2010, I was working, because, you know, I had an online job, which is something in accordance with my profession. Then I was given a 2-year contract. When it's expired, and then I things became difficult for me to live there, because there's no social system there to assist the refugees or to give them accommodation and stuff like that. So that was the reason I got an invitation from a friend who was living in Berlin, and then I decided to come to Berlin. So, yeah.
And can you tell us how you joined the refugees movement here?
Yeah, I joined in the refugee movement in Oranien Plus, I think, since 2012, because there was a time I was passing by and I saw an improvised camp, a refugee camp, something like that. Then I was curious, then I dropped there and then asked people what was going there. And then from there I got an idea. They are refugees like me. They are protesting against the unfair laws in their lagers. Most of them were in Bavaria. So they are protesting against that unfair laws. And then they moved from Bavaria to come and, you know, build the refugee camp, or that, you know, to occupy that space in Oranien Plus, you know, with their demands about residence fleeing, deportations, have access to health and education, things like that, even to study German language as a basic. These are the things we are lack in their lagers. And also the social system, or how the people live in the lagers, it was catastrophic. So these are some of the things that, you know, they were protesting, and then they move from their homes and then come and occupy that space in Oranien Plus. So when I had the knowledge about their demands, it motivates me, you know, like, you know, to come together as a group and fight for your right. That could you could achieve something rather than individual. Since before I was fighting about my rights, about what you know unfair laws against refugees, but immediately when I found this group of people there, it motivates me a lot, because I know that, you know, if we get together, come with one demands, at least, you know, people will listen to me. To what we are fighting for. So that was the reason why I joined with them. I joined with them in the fight.
So you joined them in 2012?
Yeah.
And how did the movement continue?
Yeah, because I'm a photographer. So when I, at the beginning, most of the people, or many refugees, they are complaining, about, you know, how the media is treating the situation there, you know, because always media is focusing on the negative impacts about the refugees there. So me, I have a basic knowledge about journalism, so, and also in media. So that was the time I engaged myself to use my photographic to explain to society about the misconception or unfair laws that the government is exposing on the people there on the ground. But at the beginning, it was like, the situation was like that. Whenever media comes, they will never transmit the demands of the refugees. Only what they are focusing on, they are ignorance, they are too much, they are, you know, occupying our space, they came to take our jobs, you know, sick people and stuff like that. this was the, you know, most of the focus in the society, just to, you know, to isolate the people, not them to have the real access to get the connected with the society. So that was the reason why I took my photo, to explain and then to explain to society about the misconceptions and the misunderstanding what they had on the refugees. That I found it quite successfully, because, you know, many times or almost every 2 weeks, you know, when I was people knows about what I am doing, you know, society or many people accept it, and then almost every 2 weeks, you know, some people will call me, and then I will meet them, mostly students in the universities or in the high schools, and I will go there with the pictures. I will use a beamer and explain the current situations of the refugees there. Yeah, that was the situation until last year. And then, as I was telling you, there was a great big movement that was controlling the situation there. But the politicians use this as an advantage just to break that big movement, because, you know, I think that those are the strategies they can use. That was the only strategy that they can use to achieve or to evict the Iranian plus, because they are separating people. Like, you know, you came from Lampedusa, because Lampedusa, when, you know, after the war of Libya in 2011, there are a group of people came. But when they came, they found this Iranian plus was already established. And then some stay there because they understand that there's a structure here already. Those who are fighting for the refugees' rights and blah, blah, blah. Some decided to stay with them there. And then some they moved to Hamburg. So these people, those who stay there, called Lampedusa group, you know, governments are separating them. Like, you know, at the beginning, when the fight went until at the time. So the strategy that they use is that to call the people from Lampedusa, and then the people, those who ask asylum in Bavaria, and the people, those who their asylum cases in Berlin here, to address them differently. So that has a results. Caused a lot of problems in the big movement, because they are calling the people, you know, under, like, you know, to give them agreement, to have an agreement, to sign an agreement with some group of people, some other group of people sign a different agreement with them. So this became a big problem, and then they offer some people a house, or they give them a false promises that, you know, we will give you a regular status, we will offer you a job, we will give you a house, but the only thing, you have to move from Iranian Plus. So this is one of the agreement they have with some of the refugees. Some of the refugees, I could say, but some they refuse. But the people, those who agree on this agreement, are more. So, and then they decided to come and invict the Iranian Plus and give them another place for 3 months. But after that, after giving them that 3 months, again, they attacked them there. Because, you know, what they were interest is to evict Iranian Plus totally, let the people move away from there so that they can weak the structure. So that was what happened. But when it happens, some of the refugees, as I was telling you yesterday, we try to create another solutions, because, you know, we said when we come up with a big one family with big one group, oppositions, they will weak us, they will put a confusion on us. So now a lot of groups has been created there. We have Refugee Strike Berlin, Africa Refugee Union, and Africa Youth Community, Chad Youth in Berlin. Just to name the few. So each of these groups have all the same principles, external principles, or I mean their external demands are the same. but in their internal structure may be a little bit different, you know, because, you know, it depends on how many people are from the same area, East Africa or North Africa or Asia, speak the same language and understand them each other. They can be able to motivate themselves, you know, so that, you know, they can come out with the demands, which, you know, is a central demand for all the groups. And I think all the groups has been agree on this, like people from Ghana or people from Somalia, because these are the people that they can speak the same language, they can understand, they have the same culture. So if they organize themselves and then come out with a demand that, you know, is going to be an external demand, which is going to be an action that, you know, all the refugees are going to accept it, and then it's something that affecting the whole refugees. So that's why, you know, you can have, you could hear these different names, but our external demands are all the same. Because like people from, you ask an asylum in Italy, even if your asylum is accepted, if you came to Germany here, you are the same with the person, those who ask an asylum here, because you have no right to work, you have no right to get access to the medical or to get study or anything. So in that regard, you can see it's affecting all the refugees. That's why we said our external demands are all the same. So the situation right now, briefly, this is how what is happening there.
And you are a member of the African Refugee Union?
Yeah, I'm a member of Africa Refugee Union. Yeah, with my, yeah. Because our principles and our agenda is, we base on the colonialism. Because we see that, you know, Berlin is a center, and then Berlin is a place whereby, you know, all ideas came to gather together and then to attack Africa or to invade Africa during colonialism time. It was Berlin here, everything was organized, and then it in 1884, if I could remember, with the idea of the former chancellor Otto von Bismarck, and then to go and invade Africa. So Africans now, and then this effect of the colonialism is still active in Africa. So Africa is getting down, Africa has been looted, Africa has been poisoned, Europe is getting rise. And then the concept of the Africans today, most especially the youths, they didn't believe anything about Africa. So what they are believe is Europe. That's why you say you are seeing in most cases, if there are conflict happens in any country, the only thing that people will think is to go to Europe, because they think Europe is the heaven, Europe is the continent that can save their life, that can solve their problems. So that's why people are running away for their life to come and ask for a political asylum. But if they come here again, there will be another problem. So that's why we base on that colonialism. Europeans must have to acknowledge that. You know, if the Africa is poor, Africa is ignorant, I always say to the people, yeah, I agree with you. But if you go back to the history, who were the causes of all these problems into Africa? It's the Europeans. So Europeans must acknowledge this, and they must have to take that responsibility today. Because even now, when there are wars, wars and confusion happening in Africa, if you go there, you will find out that the dictatorship, those who are making all these catastrophes, atrocities on their people, they were backed by the European governments. And then, you know, so these were some of the things that, you know, we are emphasizing for them to stop all kind of, you know, intervenes. In the political situations of Africa, because if that doesn't stop, always there will be a problem, and when the problem happens, people will flee their home countries to go and ask asylum. Because if you could remember, in some 10 years back, the statistics, if you look at the statistics from 10 years back and to now, the amount of the people that entered in Europe, illegal migrants, the migration that come most especially from Africa to Europe, it was not like that. But if you count from 2011 towards now, it doubled for the 10 years back. So that was causes that, you know, the wars, like intervention, the intervention in places like Mali, Libya and Central Africa Republic. So as a result, people will doesn't have any more chance to or any choice. The only choice they have is to flee from their home countries and then to ask for a good life or safe place. So that's why we are emphasizing in that point. Let the Europeans look their foreign policies and then let them not interfere the situation of the Africa. Most especially, they are supporting the dictatorships in Africa. And then this dictatorship, if you look at it deeply, it is a kind of, it's a something that where, which, you know, is inherited from the colonial mentalities. Because during colonialism, they went to Africa and invade our people and then, you know, rule them forcefully. And then teach them, the people lose their culture, people lose their religions, people lose even their languages. So as a result now, that's why you see any presidents come to a power in most of the African countries will decide to stay for the rest of his life. He will stay as a dictator. So in this dictatorship, you know, if the people in that country or the citizens of the country insist and say no to this dictatorship, the only options that you will have is to flee the country for your life, or you remain the rest of your life in imprisonment, or they kill you. So this brings a lot of conflict in Africa. And at the same time, European so-called superpowers are embarking this dictatorship. So that's why, you know, we are, you know, much emphasizing in that colonialism and its effects, which is still, you know, remain in African society.
And how do you see the perspectives of your movement now?
Yeah, we are going well. Really, we are going well, because, you know, whenever we go, almost now we are creating a project we are targeting every month two or three times. We will give a speech or presentation into the universities or junior schools, because that is another one of our targets, to speak to the young people, because we believe that these are the people that are going to represent the future. So that's why, you know, if we could be able to put something in their mind for them to get an understanding, at least maybe in the future something will achieve big.
Do you want to say something more?
I think I've said all. So what I wanted to say maybe is, like, you know, the situation here, people don't believe that, most especially a black people or African people, can do something. This is what, you know, I understand from the society, because all what they are thinking about Africa is always, you know, it's a misconception. They have a very, very great misconception about the Africans or the black people, because, you know, they never proud. They never feel proud about the black people, or most colored people, that, you know, they can do something or they know something. So this is another problem that, you know, causes the big, big isolation from the colored people and the white German society. Because in most cases, you know, if you remember, there was a time back that, you know, this Ebola situation in Africa, mostly West Africa, you know, people are even running away. Yeah, here in Berlin, here people are even running away from the black people. If they saw you in the street, at times you can hear it from a far distance. Hey, Ebola, you know, as a black person, when I saw you, because, you know, it's the media. Because that was the time exactly I visited Africa. But when I went there, it was surprise. It surprised me that if you are here in Germany, every 30 minutes, every 20 minutes, the radios, television are emphasizing Ebola, 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 Ebola. But if you go to Africa, you didn't hear it from anybody. And if you ask the people, in fact, they will say, I don't have any idea about it. So this shows you that, you know, the so-called, they are making a propaganda to isolate the African, to isolate the continent of Africa, as how they are doing before. Just the people to run away, European not to go there, or to have a restriction to isolate the people, African people, not to get a contact with the outside world. The so-called propaganda to exaggerate things. I'm not saying it's not, Ebola wasn't there, but the way the media is exaggerating it here, it wasn't like that. So I think, you know, for migration or people to come to your land is a matter of exchange. That's what I believe, you know, it's a kind of a give and take. If the people comes, there was a time back, the Germans or the Europeans, they are flee from their countries for another country for asylum. So this is something, is a clear example that when somebody come to your land, try to treat him, give him a welcome, warm welcome, try to, you know, integrate him or her so that, you know, tomorrow he could be able to stand him or herself. Rather than, you know, looking them like, you know, they are not part of the society, they are inhuman and whatever. Because this caused something big in the society. Because a lot of people now, law isolated them, it pushed them into a certain area whereby at the same time this law is using it as a propaganda. Just to tell the people, the media or the society that, yeah, they have a bad record. Because, you know, when law push you in a certain level, it's targeting you something just for you. For them to give you a bad record, and this record they will use it as a propaganda, you know, to tarnish your image. This is what they are doing against the foreigners here. If you go some parks here, you will find only the foreigners are there selling drugs or dealing with the drugs. But why that happens? This is what, you know, society is not looking. You know, they are pushing them to involve in that kind of things, just to have a bad records, because if they catch you there, they will give you a record, and that record they will use it as a propaganda that foreigners are this and this and this and this. We have a record, is this. So this is a big cause, it's a big problem, because society doesn't, the law here doesn't give you access to work, even to study a language, no. So what can you do to survive yourself? Nobody accepts you. So the only thing that you will do to survive yourself is that way, and that is their target. After that, they will use that records as a propaganda to, you know, to mobilize people just a distance to far distance away from the foreigners. So I think this is what I can say.
Okay, thank you. Welcome.